Hello, we're reading from the writings of Rabash, second volume. The article is in Hebrew, there's no English translation. The article is called, What Does It Mean If One Swallows the Maror, the horseradish? Did not come out in the work.
In Shar HaKavanot,
it says there, and this is the secret of the Maror, the horseradish, which in Gematria, its numerical value equals Mavet, death, which is the secret of its judgments, which the Klipot hold on to, which are called death. And in order to mitigate it, you have to draw life. And this is the taste for one to feel the taste of bitterness. And if he swallows it, he did not have to do what he has to, because by the grinding of the teeth, it is mitigated by the 32 teeth. And in the work, we have to understand what is the maror, which is called mavet, death, and what does it mean that by the grinding of the teeth, which are 32, the radish, the horseradish, the maror, mitigates. And if one swallows it, he no longer tastes the taste of bitterness. And how is that explained in the work? And in order to understand that, first of all, we have to know, what do we need the work for? And we see that even in corporeality, a person doesn't achieve anything without exertion. And the answer is, no. Since every branch wants to become like its root, and since our root, which has created us with the intention, his desire is to do good to his creatures, meaning to bestow. Therefore, while the receiver, the creature, receives and feels while receiving from his friend unpleasantness, therefore we were given the work. And when a person receives reward for his work, there's no longer the matter of shame. That's supposed that a person isn't ready to eat the bread of shame because in return for the bread, he gives work. And it seems like some kind of an exchange that they exchange with each other. One gives the work and the other gives him bread, meaning money and so on. However, it is thoroughly clear in corporeality, meaning between man and his friend, but between man and the Creator. How can you say that a person works in Torah and Mitzvot, and in return for that, he gives him a reward? The sages said that we have to work not in order to receive a prize. If so, what is the use, what is the benefit from the work in the Torah and Mitzvot? And in corporeality, not like in corporeality, we understand that we have to work, meaning that the reward without work is felt as shame. Therefore, when one wants to receive a reward, there is a correction of the pay, so that one will not feel shame while receiving that reward, that a person gives work in return for the reward. And therefore, we understand that the work is a correction over the reward. Therefore, in the work, where it is not in order to receive a reward, what do you need to give the work for? Meaning, for which need is this work needed? There is nothing to correct here, since he does not receive anything in return. If so, this work, what do I need it for? And furthermore, we have to understand with respect to the work that in corporeality we understand that a person has to work, since the work that a person does in favor of the other is it's necessary for him. For example, the owner of a bakery needs workers, otherwise he doesn't need the amount of otherwise he can't deliver the amount of bread that he needs to. With respect to the Creator, if so, it's God forbid, there's no deficiency that the creatures have to complete something for Him by the work that they do for Him. And there are two things about it. That one thing is that the work that we're led to do is so that there will be some kind of a reward for it, that by that we correct the shame. And the second thing is that we can say between man and his friend that his friend needs his work, but between man and the Creator, how can we say that, God forbid, the Creator is needy of the person's work? And the answer is really, we have to ask, why did the sages say that we have to work not in order to receive a reward? The entire matter of the work is corrected such that there is such a correction so that there will not be the bread of shame. And we also see that in corporeality too, between man and his friend, this rule works the same, not to eat the bread of shame because of shame. And therefore, with respect to the Creator, why do we have to work without a reward? The work, it corrects the good and the pleasure so that there will be no shame about it during the reception, since it is not called reward or charity, but now the good and the pleasure got a new name called reward. Therefore, why do we have to work not in order to receive a prize? And there's an answer to it in the Book of Tests, where he asks about what the sages said, that in order to correct so there will be no bread of shame, there was a correction made where one has created this world, where there is a reality of work here because their reward is taken, so by their work, they're saved from the shame. And he's asking there, and the explanation is it's pondering, because he tells a person, work with me for just one tiny moment. And for this, I will give you from all the pleasures of the world for your entire life, that you have no greater free gift, where the work is in this world, a transient world that is worthless with respect to the reward and the pleasure of the eternal world. And the answers that it gives us, that since there is disparity of form between the Creator and the creatures, which causes the shame, by being engaged in the Torah and Mitzvot in order to give contentment to his Maker, by that the vessels of reception of the soul invert into vessels of bestowal, meaning that on its own behalf, it wouldn't have wanted this reward, but receives the abundance in order to give contentment to its Maker, who wants for the souls to enjoy his abundance. And from here we can understand what we have asked, that between man and his friend, we understand that the work that a person does in order to receive a reward is in order for a person not to eat the bread of shame, as it is known, because that causes shame. And by the work, the flaw of the shame is corrected, because one receives a reward for the work. Whereas with respect to the Creator, what is the correction of the work? One has to work not in order to receive a prize. And also we have asked, between man and his friend, a person needs the other's work. But with respect to the Creator, what does the Creator need of man's work for? God forbid, does he have some kind of a deficiency? God forbid, is he needy of a person's work? But it's the same, that between man and the Creator, we can't say that the work corrects the reception of the good and the pleasure so that the flaw of the shame shall not be felt, because only between man and his friend, meaning since the giver of the work pays him according to his work, it follows that the work with the reward are a kind of an exchange, which exchange with one another, and there's no longer any shame here because both of them receive together, meaning that one receives the work and the other receives the reward. Whereas with respect to the Creator, there's no equal matter here, meaning that we can say that one receives the work and the other receives the reward. For two reasons. The first is that you can't say that the Creator receives any kind of work with the person, because God forbid the Creator, he has no deficiency to be needy of a person's work. Secondly, as he says there in Tess, that the reward that a person does, the worker of the Creator does, it does not equal the work, because the work, in terms of the value of the reception or of the reward, is similar to a person that works for his friend for just a moment, and in return he gives him livelihood for his entire life. And since the servant of the Creator works only in this world, and in return he gets a reward in eternity, whereas between man and his friend, it's not so. Therefore, as it says there, the matter of a person's work in the Torah and mitzvot is not for the sake of exchange, like in the work between man and his friend. But the work is that a person, by the work in the Torah and mitzvot, will receive by it something new, meaning a second nature. Meaning, instead of being born with the nature of the will to receive for himself, for that he, by engaging in the Torah and mitzvot, he will receive the Torah and mitzvot that are to bestow, and not to receive a reward at all, and by that he will receive a reward for his work. But what is the reward that he expects to find for his work in Torah and mitzvot? That the Creator will give him a second nature, meaning the vessels of bestowal. Instead of having up till now the vessels of the will to receive in order to receive, for him to achieve now new kelim, which are called the vessels of bestowal. Therefore, while doing the work of the Torah and mitzvot, he has to aim to be engaged in order to bestow, meaning that he has to aim constantly at the during the time of work for the reward that he expects for the Creator to give him in return for his work in the Torah and mitzvot. And in this intention where he aims in order to bestow, there are two things about it. The one is for him to know what kind of a reward is he expecting. The second thing is for him to know the taste of the reward, to enjoy this reward, meaning that the extent of the reward depends on the yearning for the reward. Like in corporeality, there is a big and there is a small reward, which is measured according to the importance of a matter, because the way of the world is that something which is precious, that not many people have, meaning that that's something that's hard to achieve, that's called important in spirituality. In corporeality, and therefore each person thinks that he can do whatever is necessary to do in order to achieve for the sake of heavens, since this is intention, meaning to aim during the actions for everything to be for the sake of heavens, and a person thinks that only the act, the deed, is hard to do, and that the intention is something very easy, that it only depends on his desire. And if he wants to, he can. Whereas those people that start walking on this path, that they want for their actions to be for the benefit of heavens, that person, the more he does with the intention in order to bestow, the more the truth unravels how far a person is from it. Meaning that there is a remedy in this work, that from above the truth is being shown to him, how a person has no belonging to the actions of bestowal. However, before a person starts doing the work of bestowal, there is a correction, where one can see the truth, how far a person is from that path, since this path or this way is against nature, because a person was created to do everything for his own benefit. And in order for him not to feel shame, he has to do everything for the benefit of the Creator and to annul his entire existence. And how can the body agree with that? And this is like the Holy Zohar says about the writing, Odayelav Chachatato, this knowledge, meaning that the Creator informs him that when a person, when it is seen from above that a person wants to correct the intention for himself, the truth is informed, how far a person is from it. Then he starts saying that not every person can reach this reward, and he starts saying the importance of the matter. It is found that only then he starts saying this reward, which is called the vessels of bestowal, it's hard to achieve it. That only the Creator can give him these kelim. So it follows that his reward takes on the form of importance, since this is something very precious that not everyone can achieve. And we see the importance of this reward, which is to achieve the vessels of bestowal, so that it will be possible to achieve and understand the importance of the matter before a person sees how hard it is to achieve. And when he achieves the vessels of bestowal, he sees then how he merits a tremendous reward, which is something so precious, since it is not in his ability to achieve a great thing by his own powers, but only the Creator himself can give him these vessels in return as a present. And it follows that it's forbidden to work in order to receive a reward, because if one wants a reward for his work, then he is truly escaping the real reward. And from here we can understand, what do we need to work for? Because the Creator, he doesn't need our work for us to help him in any way. And the answer is that this work is only for us, meaning that by the work we come to attain the importance of the reward. And it's not simply importance, but it's the matter which we achieve through our work, where the importance is because this is our entire life, because without being adhered to the Creator, we are distanced from Him. And all of the good and the pleasure which the Creator has created to do good for His creatures depends on it, for us to have equivalence with the light. And as the Holy Ari says, that because of the shattering of the vessels, the shattering of the vessels was because the kelim, it was not in their ability to bear the light, and therefore the lights, they leave and the vessels break. And since there is an opposite value between the bestowing light and the receiving kli, and in order for them to achieve equivalence, there was a correction, where the receiver does not receive for his own benefit, but because he wants to keep the desire of the Creator, which wants to do good to his creatures, and only for this reason he receives the good. And this is called equivalence, because both of them are equal now, since both of them are called bestowers, meaning that just like the light bestows by giving to the kli, so does the kli. So the kli too doesn't receive, since it wishes to bestow onto the giver. And as Bala Sulam said about what the Creator asked, of what Moses asked of the Creator, he said, "Show me your glory." And the Creator said, "Here is the place with me." And what is the meaning of Hine Makom Iti? And he said, Iti, with me, is the acronyms of faith, prayer, exertion, meaning that that is the place where a person can come and achieve the glory of the Creator, where we can explain the glory of the Creator. It's like when we pray, and therefore give honor to your people, which means that the glory of the Creator will be revealed among the people of Israel, where each and everyone will feel the greatness of the Creator, to the extent to which there a person will have no concerns. But furthermore, how can he do something? How can he give the Creator some kind of a contentment and nothing else interests him? Whereas when it is in opposite times, when divinity is in dust and the greatness of the Creator is in dust, and you don't see the importance of the one who commands us to keep the Torah and mitzvot, which is not because he needs our work, but because he wants to reward us. Therefore, he gave us to keep the Torah and the mitzvot, as the sages said. The Creator wanted to purify the people of Israel, therefore he gave them much Torah and mitzvot. And as it says in the introduction to the wisdom of Kabbalah, therefore, in order to achieve the glory of the Creator, which is the matter, as it says, show me your glory, even though there are many commentaries to it by way of work, this is how we have to explain. This is how we have to explain this verse, that show me your glory, meaning that for the glory of the Creator to be revealed, and the order of the world, of the place, meaning Aleph Daf Yud, is that he has to receive upon himself the matter of faith, that he has to believe that anyone can merit the glory of the Creator. And when he believes, he has to know why the glory of the Creator is not revealed before he started the work, but only the concealment is revealed.
Wake up. Each one should wake his friend, because we're going to have a workshop about this in a moment. So wake up and remember these points in the article.
But he has to believe in the words of the sages that that is a correction for a person to have the ability to merit equivalence of form, which is called to bestow onto the Creator and not for himself. Therefore, the matter of faith that a person has to take upon himself, he has to also believe that he can't merit the glory of the Creator, that the concealment and will be that the matter of the concealment will be hidden from him, and if so, he has merited the fear of the heavens, and that is something that he cannot achieve before he has equivalence of form. And in order to have the equivalence of form, he has to try that whatever he does, he'll have fear, awe. And as it says, it is fear that he fears that maybe he will not be able to give enough contentment to his Maker. So it follows that at the beginning, that a person starts doing the work, he comes in respect to faith, and even though that the body resists this, comes the matter of exertion, meaning that he has to overcome the body and to give different advice, as the sages said, that you shall that the way to wage war is through tactics. And according to exertion that one gives, to that extent one starts feeling that it is not in his ability to do anything, because he, on behalf of himself, in his opinion, has already done everything that he could. And after the exertion, he comes to understand that only the Creator can help, and it is not in his own powers. Then comes the third state of the prayer, and then the prayer is from the depth of the heart, since it's clear to him that there's no one that can help him but the Creator. However, even when he comes to understand that the Creator can help him, he understands that the real advice is only prayer. Comes the body and allows him to understand, you see how much prayer you've given, and you did not get any answer from above. And if so, why pray for the Creator to help you? Because you see that you're not getting any help from above. And it is then not in his ability to pray. And we have to overcome this once again in faith. And overcoming in faith, it explains that the Creator hears the prayer of every mouth. And it doesn't matter if a person is talented and he has good measures or vice versa, but he has to overcome and to believe above reason, even though that his reason necessitates him to. And after he has prayed many times and did not receive from above anything, if so, how can he once again go and pray?
For this too, you need to overcome. You need to give exertion above reason and to pray that the Creator will help, that he will be able to overcome his own reason and also pray. It follows that even though faith, prayer, and exertion are three things that come one after the other, the truth is, they are truly three things. And anyhow, these three things are included in each other. Meaning, in everything he works with the all three together, as we have seen above. Meaning, even though you can start with faith, the rest of the discernments are included in faith. Because when he starts overcoming, you should understand in faith of the sages. They said that a person should say, if I am not for me, who is for me? Meaning that a person should work and to come by his own forces to the goal. And when he sees that he cannot overcome and exert, he should believe that a prayer will help. As it is written, because you hear the prayer of every mouth. Even though he sees no change by praying to the Creator to help him, so here too there is a matter of above reason. However, the general order is you start from Aleph Taf Yud, faith, later on exertion, and then prayer. It follows that the main thing, the gist, is the prayer, the faith, sorry. Because with faith you should use all the actions a person does. This means that all the kelim, the vessels with which a person works, for them the basis is faith. That's why the light that is revealed is called the light of faith, named after the kli. This kli is built over the basis of the faith of the sages and faith of the Creator, as it is written, they believed in the Creator and Moses, his slave. And now we can understand what our sages said. If they swallowed the maro, the horseradish, it did not come out. And Holy Ari said that the numerical value of maro is death. And we should understand what is implied here by maro being equal to death. This is the judgment in it, which hold on to the klipot. We should interpret that this is as we say in the Passover Haggadah. Why do we eat this maro, this horseradish? Because the Egyptians have made our life bitter with hard work. The matter of hard work was that the people of Israel wanted to come out of the domination of the Egyptians, called self-love. When they overcame them and did something in order to bestow, immediately they came the thoughts they had, the thoughts of the Egyptians that asked the wicked person's question, why do you do this work for the Creator's benefit? And every time they were able to prevail, immediately they had the Egyptians' questions. This is called hard work. It was difficult to come out of their control because the Egyptians made their life bitter. About this, the Holy Ari says that maro, the bitter root, is equal to death in the numerical value, meaning that the fact that the Egyptians didn't want to let them leave their control, come out of their control, rather they wanted to stay as they want, just as the wicked person asked. This is the meaning of the wicked in their life are considered to be dead. It follows that it's not simply maro. Rather, it's truly as being dead. It follows that the word yemareru will make their life bitter was because the people of Israel wanted to stay as dead people, God forbid. It follows that the matter of hard work that they used to taste, the bitter taste, was because they used to taste the taste of death by working for themselves. And this is why he says that Maro is like being dead. And the meaning of the judgments that hold on to the Klipot is, as it was well known, that they were like judgment, meaning they were not permitted to receive, to use their vessels of reception. And the suckling of the Klipot is from the vessels of reception, when they want to receive in order to receive. And when a person is receiving, then he is in a state of concealment from spirituality. And the correction is, as it is written, this is the flavor he should feel, the bitterness. And if he swallowed, he did not do his work, because by the grinding of the teeth, you mitigate, by the 32 teeth. We should interpret it that the 32 teeth imply the 32 paths of wisdom, of chokhmah, meaning that specifically by that a person comes to a state of an ascent, considered to be in a state of life and wisdom, and then he should chew the maror, the bitter root, in order to, for him to feel bitterness, because only at a time of an ascent you can feel what bitterness is, meaning whether the flavor of a descent is. This is as light excels darkness, meaning you cannot taste a real flavor in life and light if you don't have the flavor of death and darkness. It follows that the bitterness is mitigated by the ascent. Only by darkness, which is a descent, by that can you feel the light. It follows that now the darkness is corrected. This is why it says, you mitigate it by extending life.
From here we can see several things. And we get a few answers from here. First of all, when coming to spirituality, we ourselves don't know what are we coming to. It's clearing up more and more because no one has any idea about spirituality. But we're drawn to something by the point in the heart, as much as it's burning, that from above it's given the strength. The spiritual forces give it strength from above, so it will start pushing a person towards the goal. And this is how we go. And we somehow start getting into the system, becoming more sophisticated about it. We don't understand the system that we're in, because the entire system is much more complex and is under the rule of the higher force that wishes to bring whoever is in it to proximity to him. And if we are at the beginning of our path, under the rule of the point in the heart, then we're drawn to that higher force instinctively, meaning by our inner urge that he gives, that the higher force is giving, and we're drawn, and we're included, and then we're as if burning, ready for each and everything, like we see on the new people, on the newbies. Afterwards, gradually, the influence of the higher force of the illumination is taken off from the point in the heart, and then we start being dependent on something unknown, to continue ourselves an awakening. This is what we have to look for, that instead of that higher force, that used to awaken us, that now we have to awaken ourselves. But really with the same, not method, but way, form, character, that just as if we would have been drawn to spirituality, faith above reason, we don't know what these things are, but we were willing to do things above our own reason at a time that we come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. And we have to continue going this way and to exchange the higher force for the force of society, for the reforming light that we constantly want to receive through it. And this is what we don't really know how to do. We don't hear. The calculation here has to be simple. From love of the creatures to the love of the Creator. And therefore, through society, we reach the Creator through the connection, through the point of connection between us. And when we hear about these rules that exist in society, that we have to integrate, include ourselves, that we have to be connected, that we have to annul ourselves towards each other, we think that it's something that has to do with the human society. And if so, we begin to compare this society with other societies, the demands that exist in this society with the demands that exist in general in humanity, because the calculation is done in a realm that we understand, where it speaks about the connection between us. But it's not about the connection between us. It's about the connection between the broken spiritual parts. And society isn't the society of people, but those broken spiritual parts which aspire to achieve connection and to reach a state where they're incapable of connecting. And then this state, to define it as the Egyptian exile and the children of Israel sighed because of the work, then they're called the sons of Israel from the word Yashar Kel, meaning being aimed straight at the Creator, and then they wish to achieve the force of love and bestowal. They cry out, ask for it, eventually get the strength and connect for it, and connect. And the connection between them is called the exodus from Egypt, the birth of the one mutual new pertsuf of the one soul. And this is where the hardship is, that when we start implementing the process between us, which is through the connection to achieve the understanding that we're incapable of connecting, and to determine it as exile, and to understand that there's a special force here that does this, that gives us the problems and the troubles and gives us blows over our ego, over our current nature, and that we have to cope with it, and specifically the point in the heart, we have to differentiate it from all of our desires, even those that yearn in some way for something. But that point, the point in the heart called Moshe, we have to really see it as a special point that has nothing to do with all the rest of the desires of the nation. Also, its life, its development, its purpose, it's all very special. And here there's a problem. Meaning the entire problem is in our work between us and society, because Egypt is here between us and the Pharaoh that's between us and rules us. And the Creator that has to come instead of Him and control us, the force of bestowal atop the force of reception, where we only rise above our ego. And that's called coming out of Egypt. We don't destroy it, we only receive a special force from it called Kelim. And we have to understand that unless we realize it between us, it won't happen. And for this, we have to arrange society and to understand that our society is not an ordinary society, that no one can understand it, because this society has completely different goals, and it can't be connected to the world in different forms of those desires, those goals, which interest the entire world and all societies in the world. And therefore, of course, it's very different, separate, seems very strange in the eyes of the world, and we have to agree with it. To this day, even in corporeality, the people of Israel are very strange with respect to the rest of the world. And so what? Does it change anything? Of course, it's evident, it's seen, it's unpleasant, but it's a fact, and the same fact will apply to our group too. Always, to the extent to which we merit to be a part of the spiritual development in any way, we will be very different, very conspicuous, very strange. And we also have to understand the people, that they're incapable of understanding us. We will always be considered according to their values. And it doesn't have to stand in our way, but to patiently explain to them that spirituality is something that in this world it is impossible to make any example out of it, any form, any game. And therefore, there's no point in talking about it, because there's no words that fit to describe anything. And in our desires, in our thoughts, all of our dreams, all of our impressions, nothing. Therefore, it's not mysticism. We're not engaged in images and becoming alike. And therefore, it's not a religion that we imagine for ourselves, something that seems to us, so the next world there, this world here. But we're working with one desire, the desire that the Creator has created, and we want for it to change as the Torah demands, love another as thyself. The more our desire advances towards it, the more we will merit to be like the Creator. To the extent to which I advance towards the love of others, I advance towards the love of the Creator. And this is the purpose, love the Creator your God. That the force of bestowal shall dwell in us completely and will define all of our thoughts and desires. Therefore, the more we chew this maror, horseradish, bitter also meaning, and we don't want to escape it, but we work against our ego in order to rise above it. That's the work. And whoever agrees, he does. And whoever doesn't, he doesn't. And just like those that leave us and think that they can criticize spirituality or a society that aspires for spirituality, that they as if have an understanding of how the society that's headed towards bestowal should look like. So are we that are still on the way, on the path towards the entrance from this world to the spiritual world, from the quality of reception to the quality of bestowal. We don't know and we can't know what it really is, but we have to perform actions which are necessary for this transition. Therefore it says, as a bull for the burden and a donkey for the load. And therefore it says that it's slavery, to be the slave of the Creator. And the Kabbalists, they explain very clearly that the will to receive is the one desire that the Creator has created, that either the intention in order to receive dwells in it, meaning in order to go and enjoy from reception or to enjoy bestowal. In implementation, it's simple. Either I fulfill myself or I fulfill others. When I fulfill others, I'm like the Creator. When I fulfill myself, I'm His opposite. Or opposite to Him. And all of our work is to carry out certain actions in order for us to change this direction, change this guidance, force, desire, intention. Wherever we can do it from our own free choice. And the free choice, it's where we do accept on ourselves the matter of the Arvut and being as one man and one heart, and to use the reforming light in order to achieve adhesion with the Creator, which is the goal.
And we also should try not to be under the control of alien environment. As we advance in understanding how the Creator has arranged the system, when for Him the end and the beginning are equal and they are in the same place. That's why everything that is done for the sake of the final correction. And for us in this world, we live every day at a time. We don't know what the final correction is and what our future form will be. That's why we judge things and justify such things that seem to us, from our point of view, a bit better in our will to receive, and not throughout the long perspective, rather from a certain angle, from one step at a time. That's why we should strengthen society, strengthen the connection, and understand that in the connection between us, we should demand for the changes. All the changes we read about in the Torah, we learn that should occur in us. We learn it in the study of the Ten Sefirot, about the Malchut going through all the seven different states. We should understand that the connection between us is called Malchut, and the way she comes from the point when she always only has the point of Keter in Kedusha, in sanctity, in Atzilut. How do we increase it, enlarge it until it resembles the Creator, Zeranpin, and it is with it panim bepanim, face to face, in constant adhesion. That's it. That's all we should carry out. So, if we are ready for it, you have a society. It is truly a special society, detached from all other societies. Of course, it is detached from this world. It will certainly be criticized by everyone, because no one understands what alien thing lies here. And so we exist. However, one should be serious and seriously attracted to it, and don't wait that, as usual, everything will change from above. Until we realize our choice, the choice that lies in our situation, it's the same choice as being as an ox to the burden and the donkey to the load between us, reaching the birth of the Malchut that starts resembling Zeranpin to some extent, Malchut, by what? By wanting to wake up and to come out of the control of Pharaoh between us, to reach the first point of connection. That's when the point of connection between us rises above our general ego, to be disconnected from it. This is considered to be the exodus from Egypt, a birth. And then we'll start working on this point of connection, getting shapes of Ibur, Yenika, Mochin, and so forth.
So,
there are several things here we go through during the subjugation, enslavement, that we want to connect and we see we're incapable of connecting. By that, we feel two forces already. And we have to understand that Pharaoh has the force only from the Creator. He gives him the force, validity. This cruelty comes from the Creator. He does all this game. He's directing this whole game. And when we see that this is how we are immersed in the force of the Creator, we should nevertheless be in the understanding that it's all done by the Creator. This is the meaning that I have hardened his heart. And we have to understand to what extent Pharaoh's hardening, burdening, conquers us. It truly controls us to such an extent that we are scared and we disconnect from the understanding that it comes from the Creator. Otherwise we won't be scared, because it's a mitigation of the dinim, the judgments already, and we need unmitigated dinim and gvurot in order to understand the opposite state. To what extent the Creator truly works with us in these two forms, in a strong form, in order to give us the intensity, the depth of the kli, and as the attainment of light, one versus the other. That's why we have to see, specifically by our worst situations, the lowest fallen states, we should also see the greatness of the Creator in it. As He shows us what He did in creation, from the opposite perspective, which is also great overcoming, that by that
מראה לנו.
By that he shows us the entire intensity of the kli, the force of the entire kli. In this way, we should also strengthen the friends to strengthen them, to bring them bestowal, understanding, warmth. Nevertheless, we are advancing towards the goal in a very special way. This is the way the people of Israel lived until the destruction of holiness, the destruction of the Second Temple. They used to carry out the actions of connection between themselves, and to that extent they used to feel where they are, in what spiritual states. They would also keep the corporeal states in corporeality too. Every spiritual root should reach a corporeal branch. They certainly carried it out in their reality as a whole kli, these actions. And that's why they were whole. This is why this is called the generation of de'ah, meaning a mind or reason. And they expressed it in all the books, the Torah, the Mishnah, the Gemara, and all the rest. The rest of the scriptures. They expressed it in a way that the Torah used to express it in the words of human beings, the language of the branches. This is how we call it. Bala Sulam explains it in Istaklut Nimit, the first part of Tess. The language, the Torah is written in the language of the branches in general, because it speaks of the spiritual world, and it's impossible to explain. There are no words to be said about the spiritual world except for our world's words. And so when the spiritual world came to the corporeal branch, you take the... It's like a film. You have a lamp or flashlight that shines over a screen and then lights some film, and then you have on the screen you have the result. So according to the result we can understand the spiritual connection. If you can understand the spiritual connection between root and branch, you can understand what's happening with respect to the spiritual forces in man. And others can't understand, they don't know. And therefore, we, after the destruction, are left with on the understanding of the ruin. And that's it. Only in a corporeal manner. And accordingly, they kept on keeping those rules, which is certainly not the purpose, it's not wholeness, but at least throughout the generations, people used to understand that this is not the purpose, this is not the wholeness. Whereas in the past few generations, they forgot about that, even about that. This is the decline of the generations, that we don't understand that there is nothing in addition to that. That's it. That's why there's no Messiah, no nothing. You perform it here and you'll get your reward over there. They stopped talking about it. The fact that we have to attain spirituality here in this world. This used to be the case during the exile throughout the generations. Today it isn't. Only about corporeal existence. And we have to understand that if this is what keep society going, there's nothing to do about it. We'll draw the reforming light as much as we can through us, and it will also pass on to the entire society, and from that they'll wake up, and then we will reach the exodus from Egypt. Should we have a workshop or move on? What do you think? Who's in favor of the next part? Who's in favor of a workshop? Less. Okay, so let's move on to the next part.